This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Russ right here at the Mid Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer back home in Cleveland, Ohio. How was the weekend? Did you avoid the rains? The pictures look beautiful from out there in the golf course, Jensen.
Buddy, it always goes too fast when you're having a great time, and that certainly was the case. So Bedford Springs, Pennsylvania, will be return shoppers, to say the least. Dave, that course is about as good as it gets, from feeling like you're kind of in the woods, but in your own world, if you will. Just pristine Beautiful. Conditions. We got to play the twilight round on Friday for nine. We actually got 11 holes in. We were flying through, so we might have cheated and got a couple extra holes. And then 18 on Saturday morning. No heat. You know, we were under the cover of some clouds there, and then it broke open there at the end. But man, it was fun. It was just trying to decompress and you know, kind of stay off the phone and just, you know, be in the moment there. So I know we got a lot of catching up to do on what's happened here the last 24 to 48 hours, but great to be back with you. Let's have ourselves a week.
Yeah, that's exactly the way God intended, I believe. Kind of like Augusta National, right? Don't take those phones out there to the course. Enjoy the course while you're out there. Maybe you enjoyed it like Michael Thor Bjornsson did in Detroit yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. But we're going to talk a lot of baseball. Obviously, Peter Apple is going to join the program here in the third hour. He's the co-founder of Just Baseball Media. So Peter's going to give us his insight here as we're at the trade deadline today, 6 p.m. Eastern. Can't wait to see what he thinks we might be in store for, if any more drama on this day. Marty Herney is going to join the program. Mondays with Marty's here, talking some NFL. I mean, you know it's close, and we have Marty back in the program, so we're very excited for that. But there was rather significant movement here before the trade deadline today that went from Detroit to L.A., and that's where we begin today's highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
In the end, Jensen, it's not a surprise that Tarek Skubal is now a member of the L.A. Dodgers. And I think for some, that's where the consternation begins, that this is not shocking that the rich get richer when you go get the prized guy on the trade market. I think maybe the return is what some people are raising an eyebrow about, when that's all it took to get Skubal out of Detroit. So you see here the three prospects going to L.A. or going back from L.A. to Detroit. We talked about maybe some ready-made major leaguers that would be there. That's not the case in this deal here, Jensen. I know you're not surprised by this, but what'd you make of the haul, if you want to call it a haul, that Detroit got in return?
Obviously an A-plus here for the L.A. Dodgers, and exactly the guy that they wanted to get. They didn't need him, but they wanted him. And for that package, it did feel a little bit light, Dave. A great friend of the program, Jim Bowden, putting out some grades and looking at kind of not only the big guy going out west, but also the youngsters coming back here for Detroit. You would think Zaire Hope is probably going to be able to challenge for an opening day spot as early as maybe next year, knowing what the outfield prospects look like there for the Detroit Tigers. But I'll read his tweet, Dave. He said, "So the Dodgers acquired Zaire Hope from the Cubs for Michael Busch and River Ryan from the Padres for Matt Beattie, and drafted Brady Smith in the third round of 2023 and turned them all into Tarek Skubal. Got it." It felt light. A lot of people in the industry looked at it, and I can tell you right now, catching up on some social media yesterday, there is the word collusion being floated out there amongst some fan bases, thinking, all right, the owners want a salary cap. This could have been the final nail in the coffin for these owners to kind of put their hands up in the air and say, oh, let's let this happen, because that will get the fans on our side. Hey, that's for another channel and another show. But bottom line, the Tigers, they felt like they had to not have a Shohei Ohtani 2.0 happen. They make the trade. And the LA Dodgers, again, the decided favorites to three-peat here this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating because, again, we could be staring baseball Armageddon square in the face. I know some think this is the final straw to that equation. I don't know why the Dodgers would play along if they knew that that was part of the reason why. But hey, the Dodgers going to go out there if nobody else is and make that offer, and Detroit says yes, why would they say no? And they did not. Now, Skubal in L.A. as they go for a three-peat. The Mets put out an interesting tweet yesterday with the picture of Freddie Peralta and just said thank you, and it got lots of responses, like from yours truly, for what? Freddie Peralta is gone. He has been dealt from the Mets to the Rays. The White Sox do get Luis Castillo from the Mariners. And so these are kind of subpar moves, if you will. I really liked the Freddie Peralta move for the Rays, but I liked it when he went to New York and he pitched terribly there. What about Castillo to the White Sox? Is that enough for them? And is this enough for the Rays getting the big right-hander formally out of Milwaukee?
Yeah, so I think what the Rays do is, again, able to extract maximum value by giving up the least. And that's what they did. I don't think the Mets really got anything that they can write home about in the couple of prospects they got. That's for sure. Let's look at the Castillo acquisition, though, for the White Sox. And you and I had surmised a bit. I had said Kevin Gausman will look outstanding in this rotation. Well, he didn't go to the South side. He happened to go to the north side last night. So at least one of the Chicago's got Kevin Gausman, because I think he fits perfectly. But Castillo will be a nice veteran add into this rotation. And think about it too, Dave. We would assume, should the White Sox punch their postseason ticket, it would probably be a Davis Martin in game one. And then you can make a decision whether you want Sean Burke, who statistically has been their best pitcher this year, in the rotation, or Luis Castillo, the veteran, has been there before. So they got a guy that they needed to. And for, again, a relatively even price, if you will, not anything otherworldly, but also kind of a win-win. You know, Seattle trying to create room to get Cade Anderson, their top pitching prospect, up. And also, you know, the White Sox looking to cover some innings and a veteran guy who has known how to pitch in October.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the Gausman move late last night to the north side of Chicago, too. I mean, that was a game one starter in the World Series last year, right? Yep. Like, that's what we're talking about with that type of experience. So I really like that move for the Cubs, and I like that move for the White Sox here. So Chicago in the south and north side, I think, got better yesterday in the rotation sets, for sure. A big day at the network here, because it is literally hot off the presses. You wake up this morning, you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. You have access to a very, I would say, just an in-depth college football betting guide that's available for you right now with that VSiN Pro subscription. Jensen, we're going to have to peruse a lot of this. Any quick theories and thoughts that you might have as we try to peruse through this masterpiece?
Yeah, the consensus, or at least the majority of our 22 hosts and analysts that were contributing just the picks in of their own right, have selected the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame to be the national champions. Oregon came in second with four selections. Georgia and wow. Texas tied at three apiece. There are five champion picks that are standalones. Yours truly taking my Ohio State Buckeyes here in the OHIO. I don't think that's a surprise. There are two out there, and I won't spoil it because I think people will be fascinated to not only see the selections, but who selected the two national championship picks. A lot. 340 pages of glory, my friend. This is a behemoth of a betting guide. Shout out Adam Burke and the entire staff that absolutely put together as detailed and I think is helpful, Dave. And that's the bottom line. That's why we do these betting guides, to get you that cheat sheet or that quick reference of here's who we've got here. Here's what we like there. Great betting strategies, angles, trends. Just on first look this morning, it looks absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, again, I'm one of those people, too, that I'll be perusing it to take a look at what our people say. Because, look, you standing alone with Ohio State, that might be a surprise for me that nobody else joined you in that endeavor. I'm a little bit surprised that you are standing alone there. I kind of like that. If that is being counter to what everybody else says, I kind of like where you sit there, Jensen. We are excited because the NFL preseason does begin on Thursday, Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame game with the Panthers and the Cardinals. Yes, you can bet these things. If you want to do so, I call it fake football. You're going to get a look at it, though, at least early on. Some coaches and teams are going to go at this a little bit differently than others. I'll be curious to see if we get any guys that might be starting on Thursday that we could see in week one to kick off the year in earnest. Jensen, what do you be looking for on Thursday night's Hall of Fame game?
All the people driving into Northeast Ohio, just south of me, Dave, because there's a Lainey Wilson concert there. Great people watching. No, I kid. This will be, you know, again, just we're going to be scratching that itch, right? We want to see actual NFL teams on the field. A lot of backups, as we know. We'll handicap this game, Dave. Again, don't have to go wild. It is the first bettable NFL contest we'll have. Traditionally an under in the total is usually where you like to go, but anxious to hear from Marty Herney too, just from the mindset too. This again, it's the extra preseason game. These couple of teams will need to get a look at some guys they have there, but very excited, my man. It has finally arrived. Football is back this week.
Panthers are 1.5-point favorites at total sitting, as you mentioned, Jensen, low. 36.5 is what we're seeing right now here on a Monday. I wonder if those numbers will change at all before we get to Thursday. I mentioned Thor, Michael Thor Bjornsson, and wow, what a back nine he had yesterday. Really, what an 18 holes bogey-free to go out there and win his first PGA Tour event at the Rocket Classic here in Detroit. And look, exclamation point with a birdie on 18, which is a really hard hole yesterday to get to, and he just drilled a long money putt to really put this thing away. Jensen, we'll talk more about this as the show goes. I mentioned it last week on Stock Up with young American golfers, and Thor was one of those guys I mentioned inside of 25 years young. Jensen, it looks better and better. This tour, at least from the American side, just gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I mean, what a finish. And we saw kind of a couple of days there where you had a couple of golfers that were having 8-under rounds, just absolutely terrorizing that course. And, you know, Michael Thor Bjornsson picks the perfect time to do it. Congratulations to him. The last elevated event, Dave, be going away. We'll have different names upcoming here in just a year or two. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Wyndham Championship starts on Thursday before we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Don't know if that's going to be the last time we see the FedEx Cup playoffs as well. Much more to get to, but let's get back to the big blockbuster over the weekend. At least one side it was a blockbuster. The Dodgers getting Tarek Skubal. Numbers changing. Anything we can find that we like in the betting market, we'll discuss next right here. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on a Monday morning. Still reacting to the biggest trade of the weekend to date. I don't know. There could be a bigger one today before we get to the trade deadline tonight at 6 p.m. But Tarek Skubal was the prize out there. You said last week in the program, he's going to get traded. It's just a matter of when, not if. And that, in fact, was fact. And he goes to the Dodgers. And so we can understand why everybody else that's not a Dodger fan or not a Dodger, it's going to go, this is unfair. Well, anybody technically, Jensen, could have made a move to go get Skubal, and maybe the package on paper is what we're looking at here with three guys that we don't know how many of them are going to make impacts at the big league level eventually for Detroit. I know the Tigers are hoping that. I think that's where the consternation comes in, Jensen. Not so much that Skubal is gone or that he's a Dodger, but that people are going, wait a minute, that's all it took? Well, maybe you should have those conversations with your organizations and say, well, why didn't you offer more? Do you think that this is one of those things where people now in front offices might go, wow, that's all it took to get Skubal? Boy, I wish I had offered X, Y, and Z, and maybe we could have had Tarek Skubal instead of the Dodgers.
So let's start with the Dodgers part of it, because the guys that they gave up in Zaire Hope and River Ryan specifically were probably not going to be playing at the big league level for that organization with the guys that were in front of them. So they were, as Katie Wu said yesterday on Omni Network Radio, kind of redundancies, you know, there. So they could afford to give them up, and it doesn't deplete their farm system to the point, Dave, where if the acquisition doesn't work out, then they're behind the eight ball because they don't have an ability to dip down and get guys to help them out. So the depth of the farm system for the Dodgers ends up being a big reason why they were able to do this at a much lower price than, say, what the Milwaukee Brewers could have offered and what the Rays could have offered. And that's kind of the differentiator there on that level. To the point of where we are for baseball this season. I know the Dodgers went to odds on favorite to win the National League. They're down below 2-1, what, plus $1.50 now on DraftKings, yep. I think, for winning the World Series. So not a shock, Dave. We're really not too far removed from where they were at the beginning of the season. So that wouldn't be anything from a betting standpoint that I would want to get invested in. What I think it does, and we do this exercise a lot here, is I would start looking after today. And as I told you, I'm not someone who wants to jump in on futures, reactionary. I want the dust to settle. You know, we'll get to 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, tomorrow night and really get to sink our teeth into what the ultimate landscape looks like for teams moving into the rest of the season. I would start to look for teams that you think can make it to at least the division series, if not the league championship series. And remember that seeding is locked in here for the baseball playoffs. So the 4-5 is going to play the one seed. The 3-6 is going to play the two seed. That is already locked in. So kind of start mapping it out a little bit, if you will. Think about where those records could be at the end of the year. And if you've got to play in the wild card round, so right now it's the Dodgers and the Brewers would be the ones and two seed. Then you would look at, okay, would I rather want to go through Milwaukee or would I rather have a chance to take on the Dodgers in a divisional matchup? I think that's what I would do to create the monetization opportunities, Dave. If the Dodgers end up going to the World Series, it is what it is. It's not a bettable number for me. So I would rather look at a way to make a higher ROI by picking a couple of teams that you think can get into at least the division series, if not the LCS. Why is that? Everyone is going to be an underdog to the Dodgers in the playoffs. So you will have an opportunity to try and find out what kind of money you want to make just starting on that National League pennant price.
It's kind of amazing when you think about just last year alone that Yoshi Yamamoto was the MVP of the World Series coming out of relief, his heroics, how great he was in that entirety of that series. And now it could be Tarek Skubal who gets the ball in game one of whatever that is, the DSCSs, how far they get. So they are loaded for bear. And for his part, Skubal, you know, he had said, Jensen, I want to stay in Detroit. I want to finish out the year here. I want to win a World Series with the Tigers. His tune did change just a little bit after the trade. So maybe it's a nice thing to say when you're a member of the Tigers. Now you're a member of the Dodgers. Here's what Tarek Skubal had to say after the trade was official.
At this time, I'm excited to be a Dodger. You know, I'm excited to get down there and meet all those guys and, chase 3 championships in a row. You know, it's hard to do, so I'm excited to be a part of that. It's a lot of different emotions. You know, definitely kind of a roller coaster a little bit. That 24 game 5, the failure that I experienced on the mound, I've used that as fuel to try and bring a World Series to the city of Detroit. You know, I truly did. And that whole offseason, I was never been more motivated. And then, you know, go in and we lose game 5 again. And, you know, that failure kind of sparks some more motivation, you know, and just to dig deeper and see how good you can truly be. And, you know, the goal was always to win a World Series, you know, for the city, for the organization. That took a chance on me. So, it's tough. You know, I love all those guys in there.
Okay, he said the right things. There was one thing in there, though, that kind of made me nails on the chalkboard just a little bit, Jensen. When he said, you know, going for a three-peat, like, dude, you're going for a one-peat. Like, you haven't repeated anything. You haven't won anything with these guys. They won 2 without you. You know, I kind of look at it sometimes in military parlance where you get newbies that come in and they want to ride the coattails of the people that have already been out there and done that, Jensen. And I'm like, wait a minute, you got to earn it yourself, big fella. You got to earn those stripes on your own. I understand what he's saying. He's joining a team that's going for a three-peat, but he did get to that individual disappointment of failure in Detroit. Jensen, you know, we talked about it with Kershaw for a lot of years, right? Mm-hmm. About kind of individually, as great as Kershaw was, Hall of Famer and all those things, didn't perform well in a big series. I'm not necessarily worried about that for Skubal, but what'd you make of those comments of like, hey, we're going for a three-peat, and yes, I'm disappointed we didn't get it done in Detroit?
Yeah. You know, he was like, oh, I'm all in on Team USA, and only threw a handful of innings there. So interesting that happened too. I realize that's preseason. That is not, you know, going for what you're paid to do, and that's to go out and win a world championship. Bottom line, the Tigers, remember, just a couple of years ago, waved the white flag, trading Jack Flaherty. What happened? They ran off the big run and found their way into the postseason. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for the Tigers this year. I think they are going to eventually trade Casey Mize later today. I think they will make some other moves that probably takes them out of contention, albeit we say that, Dave, when you look at the standings and you still have a boatload of teams within three games of a wild card spot, and particularly in the American League, where when we begin play today, it is an abbreviated schedule and slate. You know, the Tigers are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. They're tied with the Baltimore Orioles. The Mariners are 2 back. The Rangers 1.5. The Twins 1 back. So, yeah, there's a selling of the biggest piece on the board. But it's not like you're sitting there and it all hope is lost. So I think that's one part of these trade deadlines. I've been through them where I've been on teams where you buy, I've been on teams where you sell, and you sell big time pieces. And it is a different morale when you come to the ballpark after today is done and you get that meeting with the manager and say, boys, this is who we got. This is our team moving forward. So let's go for it. And it is a far different deadline this year, Dave, knowing on the horizon that there is a potential not only for the lockout, but we may not see baseball at all next year. And that becomes even more real with this Tarek Skubal deal to the Dodgers. It's not because of the salary cap. And I want to reiterate that to people. This wasn't like the Dodgers going out and spending $450 million to get Tarek Skubal at the deadline. There were other teams that had better packages, and the Tigers decided to go this route. The thing that I would have a problem with, and we've seen it in years past, Dave, traditionally, this kind of blockbuster doesn't happen until like sometime later today, where you have the bidding war and you have teams involved. This felt very premeditated. This felt very like, hey, get it under the cover of night. Like, we're just not going to make a big deal about Tarek Skubal going to the Dodgers. There's something fishy in my eyes about how the timing of it came to pass and the compensation package, even though he is going to be a free agent as early as next year.
Okay, let me ask you, let's just go back a little bit about 5 months in the rearview mirror. If they traded the Tigers, Tarek Skubal, before game one of the regular season, they get a much better haul than they got before the trade deadline, don't they? I would assume that. Yeah. And that's the surprising part for me, Jensen, is going, all right, obviously you didn't want to wave the white flag on a guy like Skubal before day one. Detroit fans would have been adamant. I get that. So that blowback would have been different. But it almost felt like the waiting, and they got a much worse deal than they would have had before the year began. I don't know why that turned out to play out the way it did, but that I think surprises me the most, that for leverage, they lost leveraging power the closer and closer we got to the trade deadline. I think most people thought it would be the direct opposite.
Yeah, and one other thing to think and keep in mind, the Dodgers were the destination rumored to be where Tarek Skubal wanted to sign in free agency. They could extend him now before the end of the year and have that deal potentially grandfathered in to the next CBA. Absolutely. So also another dynamic to keep in mind as well.
Exactly something we brought up on this very program last week about the grandfather clause. Would that exist? Oh, the lawyers are going to have a field day with this CBA. Coming back, let's talk about some other trades that have impacts.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Can you feel it, America? Football season is almost here, and the sharp money is already starting to move. Here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data in those feeds are going to be from four major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it is filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. And now here are the receipts. Every play logged, every result public. Records going back to 2011, live logs since 2021. It all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one because most records don't survive it. The sharp plays record gets audited daily by their own haters out there. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Monies at the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. We are ready for football season, no doubt about it. But we might be wrapping up our last baseball season for a while. We hope not, Jensen. Guys, we love doing the Daily Diamond. You and I have been doing that for 2 years now. I can't even imagine going into next year and we start that Daily Diamond right after football in February to start break down teams and start looking at futures. Oh, my goodness. If we don't have baseball, it could be Armageddon. I can't even think of it. But we've been there before. Now, some teams have made moves, not named the Dodgers, and some of these would be, quote, unquote, lesser moves, but still rather significant. We talked about Freddie Peralta going from the Metropolitans to the Rays. Talked about Luis Castillo going to the White Sox from Seattle, which is interesting there with Seattle and what they're doing. Kevin Gausman late last night going from Toronto to the Cubs. Luis Garcia Jr. from the Nats to the Yankees. Good hitter, maybe a platoon guy. Lane Thomas really liked him from KC back from his Nats days too. Now he's a Brave. Bo Naylor from Cleveland to Milwaukee. And Dean Kramer is going to be going from Baltimore to Minnesota. Jameson Taillon, who was then designated for assignment there with Toronto. And then Camilo Doval goes from the Yankees to the Pirates. Out of those lesser moves that you're seeing on your screen here, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Jensen, which ones really stick out to you?
So let's start with the Yankees, because Luis Garcia Jr. has been one of the hottest names and one of the better players here for the Nats outside of C.J. Abrams and James Wood. And we know the Yankees have been desperately searching for offensive reinforcements, still waiting for Aaron Judge to get back. Cody Bellinger, they're hoping early September, if not the first week there, and is still waiting on Giancarlo Stanton with the calf issues. Now it feels like he's been out forever. Mm-hmm. So that's a big acquisition for them. He can platoon at first base if they want. With Paul Goldschmidt, and it's an instant upgrade defensively there, whether you throw Goldie out at first or Luis Garcia Jr. That means that Ben Rice, in all likelihood, becomes your designated hitter for the foreseeable future until Stanton is able to return, if he does. So big upgrade offensively and defensively for the Yankees. I had told you last week, Kevin Gausman makes so much sense in a couple of these rotations. I thought it would be the White Sox. It happens to be the Cubs. No big deal. The White Sox still get Luis Castillo. They answer a big question that they had. Freddie Peralta is going to be intriguing because, Dave, there are a couple organizations you can go to. Cleveland is one of them. Tampa Bay is another. The Dodgers, those are three that jump right up. Milwaukee, another. Those are four organizations that feel like they've unlocked the keys to being able to tweak guys and get them from a pitching standpoint either back to where they were at an elite level or be able to improve them drastically so that it helps the club. And that wouldn't shock me if Tampa Bay scouting department saw something and said, you know what, for a rental, we can get him fixed relatively quickly, or at least into a position that is going to augment a rotation with Drew Rasmussen and Shane McClanahan. Top of that rotation now, I think that looks pretty solid for where they are. I'm interested today, and I was on Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich yesterday, and they had asked me, what do you think as far as name-wise, who'd be a big name that maybe people don't see coming? Remember, we heard about Hunter Green over the weekend, and even into Friday, you and I talked about that name surfacing. Now, I haven't heard really a ton that would lead me to believe that there's momentum towards a deal, but that would be a game-changing starter along with a George Kirby. And I go back to that Luis Castillo trade. They were looking at either Luis Castillo or Emerson Hancock. If they could get rid of one of those guys, great. They would love to do it with Castillo because that's some more money off their payroll. But they're also trying to create a spot for their top prospect in Cade Anderson. So I would keep an eye on Jerry Dipoto because he's still looking for a middle-of-the-order bat, and that would end up being a price tag that a team would be willing to pay to get a young, controllable starter, whether it was Emerson Hancock, George Kirby. That is something I think could be. Jeff Passan, great friend of the program on SportsCenter this morning, Dave, said Luis Arraez, Luke Weaver, Adrian Morihone, Reed Detmers, Adley Rutschman. Those are the names that he feels could be the biggest ones to be dealt. That lines up with what I'm hearing as well, especially on the starting pitching front. So I'm anxious to see where Detmers could potentially go and what is the price tag going to be for Morihone and Weaver.
Oh,
leverage relievers, Dave, are expensive as all heck at this point of the season. Very anxious to see those packages when and if they do occur.
I hope for Weaver it's a king's ransom for relievers for the Mets because they need help. They really need help. They are not winning these trades and these flips like a Freddie Peralta. They're getting weaker in the farm system here. The Mets are with some of the guys they gave up to get a Freddie Peralta and then flip him now for lower-tiered prospects here from the Rays. So Metropolitan fans not really happy so far with the way things have shaken out, not only on the field, but what's going on in the front office there. I bring that up, Jensen, because you can go back not that long ago. You see C.J. Abrams on that list. I'd be surprised if the Nats dealt him here. Remember, he came over with James Wood from San Diego years ago in the Juan Soto deal when Soto was a Nat. So clearly you look back on that years later and you get Abrams and Wood for Juan Soto, a great player. I think you'd say Washington won that deal. Would we get anything like that today or possibly over the weekend that you've said, all right, there might be some hidden gems in here. So on the surface, it looks like this team gave them up for nothing, but let's see. I don't know if we're going to get Abrams and Wood out of these trades that potentially could happen today. But Jensen, I'm sure that's what some teams are looking for to kind of replenish the stars they're going to give up.
Yeah, there's no Juan Soto type available. So that will not occur. That generational deal will not happen at this. If Tarek Skubal's getting that packet, we're not even getting close to that.
That's the point, right?
Yeah. I think that they're around the edges. I guess if I'm handicapping it, what are my most intriguing names? If we're staying with the Nationals, Foster Griffin, there is a boatload of scouts in the last week or two on a lot of contending clubs. Left-handed pitcher, Dave, someone that the Nats have tried to extend, have not been able to do that. Clay Holmes, it's not a matter of, I mean, he had a rehab start yesterday. So whatever took out of that, it's a matter of where he goes. And I think the same would hold true with Luke Weaver. Zach Neto, okay, you're asking about Abrams as a shortstop. I know the Angels have been a bit more hesitant to want to deal him, but I would say that one of Reed Detmers or one of Jose Soriano, one of those starting pitchers feels like they would go and maybe lean more towards Detmers because he's a left-hander and he's got, you know, some upper echelon stuff. So that could be something that teams might look at. Maury Hone, man, San Diego's playing well, man. That's going to be super hard for me if I've got Maury Hone has been nearly automatic. It was a big finish to the game last night. The Giants had come all the way back, but Maury Hone got the save with Mason Miller down. That's as good a 1-2 punch you would see in a potential postseason. So we'll see if San Diego continues the momentum. But you know AJ Preller, never seen a GM on caller ID he won't pick up the phone for, but he'll be very upfront and honest. King's ransom for a guy like Maury Hone at this time of year.
Maury Hone and Miller kind of reminds me, go back to the late 90s when they had this guy, Mariano Rivera, setting up for John Wetland back in the day when the Yankees won a World Series. I mean, I'm not saying, but sometimes you see these guys as setup guys, you go, wow, that's a heck of an 8-9 if you can get in that postseason. That's why I've been keeping my eye on San Diego for quite some time. You mentioned Neto and you mentioned Detmers, and I know Soriano had been debated about and bandied about. But what I'm hearing, Jensen, is that the asking price from the Angels has been way too high. Again, kind of in lieu of what we're just talking about for Juan Soto back in the day, and then you see the return for Tarek Skubal. Are the Angels pricing themselves out of getting help here? And it feels like that would be a team that should dismantle, especially with what's going to happen next year in baseball, potentially.
John Mozeliak, remember, is the interim GM over there and has been a veteran of trade deadlines for all those years in St. Louis. I think he's doing it as he would anywhere else. Keep the price high and see who flinches first. I think you could see, you know, towards this afternoon, maybe those prices start coming down just a bit, but you certainly don't want to be caught, holding a guy and then dealing him for a lower package than potentially what you could get. So still a pretty healthy demand and a healthy crop of guys that could be, you know, team changers once eventually dealt. I think they're going to keep the price relatively high until we get to within a couple of hours of that deadline at 6 p.m. tonight.
Very quickly, I had a Garcia to the Yanks, Lane Thomas to the Braves, and Bo Naylor to the Brewers for those hitters that they get in those lineups here. Which team do you like the most for that acquisition?
Yanks, for sure. I mean, that's the team that needed the offense. Thomas is going to be a great bat for the Braves, good platoon advantage there, and Bo Naylor will be in the minors. There is a nice little depth piece for Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that with the Garcia move to the Yankees. They say he's going to platoon right now, but that will be a key bat for them, and they need some hitting. Okay, let's talk about some football here. College Football Betting Guide is out. Also, big news in the NFL. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Marty Herney's going to join the program in the next hour to talk some NFL football. But right now, college football fans, rejoice. This is big. It's out right now. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. So VSiN Pro subscribers have access to it today. You can sign up if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber. Instant access to this betting guide features previews of all 138 FBS schools, our preseason top 50 power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from some of the sharpest minds we hear at the network. So again, you'll get that in conjunction with the NFL betting guide. Of course, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. It starts today for just $9.99 for an intro offer, or get a full year and save 50% off a VSiN Pro subscription annually. All you have to do is go over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, this guide is spectacular. It's going to take a while for me to peruse the whole thing. In short, when we look over it initially, it does seem like there is a lot of love out there for the Golden Domers.
It is. Seven of the 22 hosts and analysts on that submitted picks did select the Fighting Irish to win the national title. You mentioned Halbert, 340 pages in this guide, and a couple of the great features that are in there. First of all, shout out Adam Burke, his entire crew, senior editor Zachary Cohen, editor Michael Dolan, guide designer Matt Devine, amongst the entirety of the rest of the crew. You get Matt Eumanns, who has a fabulous breakdown, couple of snippets of his top 50. He also did the Pac-12 previews. Zachary Cohen did the Heisman Trophy overview in the Big 12. We've had Jonathan Von Tobel last couple of weeks giving us some sneak peeks on the Mountain West and the SEC write-ups he did. Wes Reynolds, no shocker here, did the Big Ten. I'm sure the Indiana Hoosiers, a very favorable write-up on that regard. Adam Burke also did home field advantage values, which I took a quick look through. Dave, that's a great betting angle. If you've not looked through it as a VSiN Pro subscriber already, that in its own right is worth the price of admission to understand how that works. And it's so critical in college football, Dave. You know, we look at the kids versus the adults in the NFL, maybe not as prevalent on the National Football League side as it is in college football. And then Paul Stone also had a write-up on his top 15 quarterbacks. And then the grand finale is our VSiN analytics guru, Steve Mackinnon. Favorite season win totals, power rating projections, stats and ratings for all the teams. You're going to need the week just to come up for air after reading everything, but it is that in-depth. It is that good. So many great best bets that you and I will be looking at throughout this week as well.
Notre Dame is not just the favorite to make the college football playoff. They are an overwhelming betting favorite to make it at minus $8 for Notre Dame to just get into the expanded playoff. Now, Ohio State, just for reference here, is the second betting choice at minus 360. So do that math here. More than 2-1, you got to double up Ohio State and still add 80 cents, and then you get to Notre Dame's price point here. That is amazing to me. Now, again, when you look at the schedule, I get it. It's the path of least resistance. We've talked about this on this program. If you've been following college football, you've probably been talking about this for decades when it comes to Notre Dame and getting into whatever version of the college football playoff there is since the advent of it. But when you've got Scani to begin, Rice, Sparty, Boiler Down, North Carolina, Stanford, okay, BYU, Navy, with all due respect to the Middies, Miami, we saw what happened last year when they played Miami. Boston College, some people think they might be one of the worst teams out there. SMU, and then my beloved Orange. Jensen, I guess they could trip up this year to Miami like they did last year, and they did have a second loss last year to keep them out. This year, even if they lose to Miami, I mean, what win on that schedule would you say, if they don't beat Miami, would you say, yeah, this is a college football playoff team, but it looks like the odds are telling you, barring a disaster of two losses somehow, they're in already.
Do not let Tim Murray see that clip just now. You guys are going to get this started before we even have week zero get here. My goodness gracious. This is part of the argument, you know, where we were looking at the SEC media days and the Big Ten media days. You know, Kurt Cignetti saying the SEC, we don't have a hype machine here in the Big Ten. In the SEC, it just means more. Look at our conference at 9 games against this conference. It was one of the things that I wrote up in our college football betting guide. And to that end, Dave, one of my best bets was taking the top three by odds, basically, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Texas to make the college football playoff at plus $1.15. Here, I'll just give it to you. I said, set it and forget it. Barring some ridiculousness that will catastrophically affect many other future bets on these three programs, I'm getting the top teams entering this regular season to, quote, do their job and make the college football playoff. You just laid out the pathway. Unless CJ Carr goes down and you have some really catastrophic injuries on the defense, Notre Dame should have their way. Ohio State should do the same. Texas should be able to get through it, albeit, you know, their road a little bit tougher as far as later in the season. But Texas is very they don't really have a road game, one that is of consequence until November. So that was one of my best bets, and I would fully expect not only narrative street, but also those records, Dave. I mean, if Notre Dame can't at least go throughout their regular season with one loss or fewer, something has really happened that has derailed them, I would think, far earlier than once we get to those college football playoff rankings coming out.
Their win total is 10.5. The juice on that is ridiculous at minus 270. I understand why the books have put that juice where it is. I mean, I just cannot see this team not winning 11 games. And by the way, you get Miami at home this year. So you lost to them last year, week one, we all remember that. And they go down to Coral Gables and they lose that football game. And that really became the impetus for why they didn't get in. Of course, they added a second loss to that ledger. And we talk about three lost schools getting in. Notre Dame can't lose two on this schedule. It's so poor that if they lost two, I think they'd be kept out again somehow, some way. I just don't see two losses on the schedule. I think Notre Dame at minus $8. Again, I'm not going to lay that price point, but barring a car injury that you mentioned, I just cannot imagine somehow they lose two games. It just doesn't appear that's even a possibility in that schedule. We'll talk much more college football, obviously, in the days and weeks ahead. NFL news. Ricky Pearsall is done for the year with his knee situation. Now, we knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be season-ending surgery, Jensen. And we saw Deebo Samuel come back to San Francisco. Now it really does make that a little bit more crystal clear. You know, if you look at the Niners, and we're talking about the Rams, and they're the big favorites here, almost cut in half from everybody else's odds to win the Super Bowl. That's where the Rams are. The Niners without Pearsall, how significant is this to you? Because to me, it's rather significant when you look at that wide receiver core.
Yeah, and again, we've wondered aloud, getting Christian McCaffrey healthy through the year. George Kittle had the injury last year that really kind of derailed their offensive continuity. Obviously, Michael Evans, the Hall of Famer, is going to have to be counted on big time here to stay healthy in his own right and be impactful the way he was with Baker Mayfield in his years with the Bucs there. You're just dwindling not only healthy bodies, Dave, but looking at impactful bodies. And I think that is the bigger issue here. That's why you saw Deebo Samuel, get signed there, because you need a healthy body, period, to be able to run the routes and give Brock Purdy an opportunity here. So very intrigued to see what the pivot is. You know that John Lynch is a master at being able to work the phones and be able to find ways. You're early enough in camp, though, Dave, where if you need to make a move, you can. If this happened, week three of the preseason, now you're up against it. No chance to onboard before the regular season starts.
Yeah, and the news with Deebo, obviously, and I know some people are looking at his shape and his weight coming back to San Francisco. It doesn't look great, but he knows the system. And you know that guys like Kyle Shanahan are going to take that first and foremost, that I know that Deebo knows where he's supposed to be. So, again, maybe that helps the run game, the blocking game as well. That's what Deebo, a bigger version, older version of Deebo, certainly could still help that Niners wide receiving core. Shout out to my guy, Brian McFadden, over there at CBS. He had a great interview. Hopefully you guys saw it out there. It's on social media with Sean McVay. And he played a little coy game with Sean about maybe doing emojis to say whether or not we could look at Aaron Donald and is he going to come back? He can't keep the grin off Sean McVay's face when BMAC or anybody else brings up Aaron Donald. I don't know that the number can move any shorter at plus 550 to win the Super Bowl here, Jensen, but it feels like a matter of when, not if, that Aaron Donald's going to be officially announced that he's coming back to the Rams this year.
Put a pin in this one. Miles Garrett, a little lower back issue. Let's get them out for a couple, 3 days in a row. I'm sure it's all load management right now. We're pretty early in camp, but hey, man. This is the NFL, so week-to-week injury-wise. Let's ask Marty Herney coming up what that defensive front might look like getting old boy back with Miles Garrett potentially this year.
And speaking about old boys coming back, Jadeveon Clowney, former number one pick in the draft by the Texans, going back home to H-Town. By the way, when he played for Dallas last year in spots, he was really good. So could be an addition there in that rotation on a really good, maybe the best defense in the entirety of the NFL. You mentioned Marty Herney. He's coming up next hour talking more NFL right here at VSiN by the Books.